Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Listen live on the Odyssey app.
We start today's Dave Mahoney Morning Show with an absolute tragedy. Audrey walked into the studio this morning and shared with us that she burnt the top of her mouth on pizza, and now you got the little dangle.
It's actually like in that blister form still.
Oh, it's still the blister.
Yeah, that's so I'm like, worse. I've been messing with it, trying to make it into the flap, the skin flap.
Yeah.
But it's not happening. I did feel some like a... You know, whenever there's that blister and it's got all of that white or clear stuff.
Plus, yeah.
I kind of was messing with it last night and I tasted that.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm kind of in shambles. My knees hurt too.
What
did you do? I tripped in heels.
You did not.
I did.
So single life is going great.
And I have two ginormous. So my mouth hurts and my knees hurt. It's just...
Wow. Maybe single life isn't
life
so bad.
It's the life is shambles.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney.
So the war continues to rage on in Ukraine. And, you know, obviously that's a terrible thing. But there are certain people that have just emerged as badasses. Of course, the president, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Like, every girl out there has the hots for him now.
Yes.
Because, like, this wartime hero. But then... there's also, you know, different people. We talked about Jose Andreas going over there with the World Central Kitchen. I mean, he's a celebrity chef that has tons of money, and he actually goes into the war zones, which is incredible. But did you see what happened over the weekend? Bono went over there.
Bono?
Yes, from U2. And he's performing in essentially like a makeshift underground bunker, like doing an acoustic set with this guy that was like in this band from Ukraine. Him and Edge went over there. I'm just like, that, like... if you're Bono, like you're like, yeah, send me into the war-torn Ukraine.
Is that what we think about that? Like, we think that that's cool? Like, the way I see it is, like, all we could get was Bono.
Bono from U2?
No, man.
What?
Because here's the tea.
What are you talking about?
I get U2, obviously, massive. But who under the age of, like, 35 is, like, pumped to see Bono? Seriously.
Well, he wasn't doing it for the kids.
Yeah, it wasn't like the teenagers.
Right. He's over there doing it for like all of the...
How old are people who...
name a bigger...
Everybody's fighting
individual
over there.
Rock star than Bono.
Single name. Because it used to just be Prince.
Name. Yeah, Prince.
Well, but U2 is a bit... Okay. Well, I was going to say...
But Bono, as far as when you think of U2, Bono is
the man.
Transcends that.
I think of... Yeah. I don't even know if I envision Bono's face. I think of sunglasses.
Sunglasses, yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so for the kids... the whole new movie of Sing 2 is basically around the character of Bono and U2's music.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for the kids, Coco Melon came out or something. No, Baby Shark started playing. I mean, that would be the concert I think everybody would
want to see. I can't believe that I'm telling you that Bono went to a war-torn area, played in a makeshift underground bunker, and you're like, meh.
Meh.
Yeah, oh, if you could have got Jack Harlow, then it would have been.
Oh, Daddy!
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Who's worse, Jane Smith or Amber Heard?
Message deleted.
Oh, who's worse between Jada Smith and Amber Heard?
I don't even think that they're on the same playing field.
Two different.
They're
worlds.
Two totally different things. I think that Amber Heard is just a toxic person, and I think Jada Smith is an abusive narcissist. I think Amber isn't necessarily doing the long-term chess game of narcissistic abuse like Jada has to Will.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, Amber Heard seems like she really, really hates Johnny Depp and wants to ruin his life. Like, I think a lot of former couples are, in a way, but it's just very public. Whereas Jada Pinkett Smith seems so manipulative in so many ways, and she has...
Yeah, she's not going to leave.
Right, no. Yeah. No. She's going to bang her son's friends and then tell
and
Will all about it.
And Will's friends.
Yeah,
and acquaintances.
Why not, you know, sure, and then bring it all out on her YouTube show. Ugh.
And make it to where it's... See, what I find interesting about, like, weaponizing open relationships like that is whenever it seems like it's both partners, like, they're both okay with it, when it's really just her.
Well, that's how...
At least that's how it seems.
Yeah.
A lot start. I mean, I feel like there's the rare where both people are like cool and somebody didn't get talked into it.
Right.
But like, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience of knowing people. Like, I had a friend who was in a throuple.
Oh, okay.
And she
didn't work out great.
She was in it for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was she the one who wanted it?
No, she did not.
Oh, no. Okay.
She was then ended up getting booted out.
So same,
oh, she got booted out of the thruple?
Yeah.
Oh.
Same. I had a friend of mine who was, he was married, and she was like, let's start an open relationship with this guy. He ended up moving in, the third party.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't you know, now those two are married.
So interestingly, I know a couple that did the same sort of thing. The guy talked his wife into, let's bring another girl into the relationship. And that, you know, lasted for a little while and then kind of flamed out. And then the other girl left. And so it was just back to them. And then the wife goes, oh, well, let's bring another guy into the relationship.
Oh, how funny. The tables turn, huh?
And sure enough, the other guy was there. The other guy is now gone, though. But she had a kid with the other guy.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But there's somehow they made it through all of that. And I don't know if they're still bringing other people in or what. But
it worked for them.
I guess.
Call me old-fashioned. But if you bring anybody else into my house, y'all probably paying rent.
Best not be drinking my orange juice.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, what universe are you living in? You think you're going to walk into the police station and report an erratic driving maniac behind you, and they're going to have five guys sitting around, jump in their cars and go after him? Throw him in a slammer, put him next to Otis for the day. Good luck.
Message deleted.
I wasn't going to walk into a police station. I was going to call the substation that I was literally right next to. And depending on...
Do you really think they would have sent a car out, though? Do you really think that? They'd be like, some guy's driving right.
You hear the tone of my voice?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, you're going to
see... I'm very authoritative, Dave.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What are they trying to do, change this country into Demolition Man? Gonna watch what you say? Before TikTok became TikTok, too, it's also in that movie, Demolition Man. Next thing you know, they're going to start fining us for inappropriate language. Can't take that right away from people.
Message
that already exists right now, man. Like, it really does. I mean, you want to be fined for inappropriate language? Get on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's governed by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission.
If we say a bad word right now, we'll personally get fined up to $250,000.
That's crazy.
How many people do you see? Like, I read a story this morning of some idiot getting on Twitter, spouting off some real dumb stuff, and getting fired.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, it exists. It does.
I think that there is something a little confusing to some people about the fact of free speech, hate speech, and the differentiation between the two and whether or not you can say certain things, like your example on Twitter. I mean, you don't get just to spout out things that could cause...
Incite violence
and cause harm.
That's the line.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can't say, well, this is my free speech. No, because you're inciting fear. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And people who use the free speech flag in order to
You can get fired for being an a-hole.
You should be fired being an a-hole.
Free speech protects you from being arrested.
Yes,
by the
Gestapo
government.
Coming and arresting you. Yes.
You're allowed to have opinions. That's what your free speech is covered under. You're allowed to dislike politicians.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your free speech is covered
under.
But
you can't call for them to be murdered.
Murdered,
yes,
exactly.
There's a difference. Yeah. Figure it out, people.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Mahoney, do you have any fears of any particular types of animals? The reason I ask is because I had a former coworker that was terrified of birds. I mean, anytime.
Really?
I don't know if she had something happen to her with birds, but I mean, birds can be really scary if you think about being surrounded by them. Because you remember when we lived in Houston and in Pearland, there was that weird time of day when there would be like
dusk.
Thousands and thousands of birds that
would
show up.
Sitting on the power lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you watch Alfred Hitchcock, the birds. But you know what? Here's the thing. Birds come at me, I'm uppercutting a bird. Any bird.
You're going to uppercut a bird.
Any bird.
You're going to uppercut a bald eagle.
I can knock out any bird, USA.
You think you've got fast enough reflexes for that?
Yeah.
You really?
I man,
you think you can punch a bird? Maybe
I would
a
rather
pigeon
fight
or
a
chicken.
Gaggle of geese or whatever you call a murder of crows than like a pack of dogs. Like,
oh yeah,
well, birds really
sure.
Like they'll peck you, but they're not really biting you, and they got talons. But I'll
you think you could uppercut a bald? Have you ever seen a bald eagle?
I see
that's
hawks.
Like a straight
there was a
predator.
Hawk that like flew by me when I was walking on my path a couple weeks ago.
See, you don't make any sense to me because you refuse to go out walking with your fancy Apple headphones because you think you're going to get mugged.
Yeah,
but then you're also convinced that if a bald eagle were to swoop down at you, you could just uppercut his ass.
Yeah.
Or you would just
There's no way.
Up on a pack of geese for the fun of it.
If there was a red-tailed hawk, which is what you just played, or actually eagle sound effect actually isn't an eagle, it's a red-tailed hawk, I would straight up Karate Kid crane kick that bitch.
Oh, you would?
That's right.
You'd just be waiting for him?
That's right.
Okay.
How do you think you are as a person?
Birds, their body weight, they got hollow bones. That's why they can fly.
Like, what do you mean you could karate kick? I mean, screw the fact that you're trying to fight a fist fight a bird. Like, that's just not happening.
You couldn't karate kick a person if they were right in front of you.
Can you imagine Mahoney just, like, going up on 1 foot, by the way? Like,
I can't. No. And it requires a jump, and you refuse to jump.
Okay, you got me there.
Tipsy or toddler?
I need to get my big gun.
So Tipsy or Toddler is a game that, in concept, it's really easy, right? You'd think that you'd be able to differentiate between a person who's hammered and a little kid. But what makes this tricky is that the words are just transcribed from whatever was said. And so you guys are trying to figure out which is which. So, Audrey, you're going to have the first crack here because Mahoney is going to read number one.
Number one is snow. And so, mama, mama mia, papa pia, be bonk.
Is that a tipsy?
Mama, papa, mama pia? Is that what you just said?
Mama, mama, papa pia,
it's like
bonk.
An onomatopoeia. Ah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be a toddler.
It's got to be. No.
It's not. No.
Well, that's a very, very drunk person.
It's snowing so much. Mamma mia, papa pia, be bunk. I can't tell. Whenever you hear people who are drunk, do you ever wonder, like, whether or not you would get along with them?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you would get along with that person?
I think so. Seem good natured.
Mamma mia, papa pia, be bunk. Like, I am that person.
I never want to be outside drunk and when it's snowing. Those two things do not go well together for me.
You never had to, like got off school, like, in college or anything like that on a snow day? Because you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Never?
No.
And, like, you would go out drinking because it was a snow day?
No, I mean, like, being outside. I mean, there's one thing of, like, drinking when it's, you know, but she is outside.
I feel like this is real-life audio of Audrey wearing heels this weekend.
Yeah, she went down.
Yeah.
Are you just out of practice? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so, because I made one false move, and I went both knees buckled, dunk,
like,
straight down.
Did the shoe turn to the side?
It did.
Oh.
I was so embarrassed. My face went like this. Whoa, jaw dropped to the ground. I was mortified.
Anybody get it on video?
I hope so.
Me too. All right, on to number two, Audrey. You're going to read this one, so Mahoney, you have an opportunity.
I'm not going to do it. Your nipples are showing.
Tipsy or toddler?
I think that's a toddler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Your nipples are showing.
That's a very matter of fact.
A very considerate toddler.
Well, when my nip's out, I appreciate a small child to point out that, hey, put that thing away.
Okay. Ring in by saying your name when you think you know the correct answer here. On to number three, Mahoney has 1 point, Audrey has none. Act a foo, pancakes and a pence, place of pancakes. Y'all ain't got pancakes. Mahoney.
Audrey, oh.
Mahoney.
Darn.
That has to be a drunk person at IHOP.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievably.
Act a foo, pancakes and less pence, place of pancakes. Y'all ain't got pancakes.
Valid.
I mean, if you don't have pancakes and you're at a Waffle House, Denny's, and or...
any breakfast joint in America.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Any breakfast joint USA, if you do not have a flapjack, which underrated name for a pancake, by the way. Nobody's out here calling flapjacks.
Flapjacks sound gross. I don't want a flapjack in my mouth. Sounds like you've been drinking too much.
All right, Audrey, you get the first crack at this one because you have to get this point in order to stay alive.
Okay.
Here we go. I have a possum. He's a little evil. He bit me already. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Don't worry. Me and this baby, hello.
It's a toddler.
Nah, man.
Nah. I have a possum. He's a little evil. He bit me already. I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow. Don't worry. Me and this baby. Hello.
Mahoney, that means you win today.
Thank you.
You're just carrying around a gross possum?
Yeah. It's one of those people.
Like she got drunk and picked up feral animals off the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. Redneck Report.
So this is a first for the Redneck Report, which is kind of odd because we hear so much crazy stuff on a regular basis that it's hard for us to be surprised by things in the Redneck Report. But again, a first. Gulfport first responders had to take drastic measures to save a woman's life after she drove her vehicle into the water and then pulled a knife on herself?
Well, I mean, if you have, you need a knife to cut the seatbelt, because that's one of the things they talk about. Like, if you ever do go into a body of water, have something sharp nearby that you can cut yourself free.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the thought there. Maybe so, because she did drive her vehicle intentionally into the water at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, and the Gulfport Fire Department.
Gotta be traffic. Gotta be traffic.
Or maybe it was just a bad GPS.
That could have been it. Yep. And then the woman broke away from the rescue personnel that got her out of the vehicle. So they were on the way to the ambulance. Mm-hmm. So get her out of the vehicle, and they're taking her to the ambulance. And she breaks away and starts running from them, and then pulls a knife out of her skirt. She had a knife in her skirt.
A skirt knife. Where was this knife
hiding? I don't know. Officers say the woman
Was like Laura Croft with like one of those like thigh things.
I don't know. Threatening herself.
Those are hot, by the way.
Yeah. The Laura Croft things?
Well, yeah. Like, or just you got like a Laura gun Croft down there or a knife or whatever, like a thigh holster.
Yeah, leave
a thigh holster. That's the word I was looking for. A holster.
Leave it on, girl.
I feel like that's an odd name to have so close to your holes. A holster.
Is that what it's called?
I think it's a holster.
Nope, it's a holster. It's a holster. So the cops, they had to shoot her with a rubber bullet in order to like get the knife away from her and everything else. But thankfully, she's going to be okay, is what it sounds like. But woof.
I know that the rubber bullet guns aren't, they're pretty intense. Like, they're not, you do get bruised up pretty bad from those guns. But I always envision them kind of like ping pong ball shooters or something. Like
Nerf high. Like Nerf. Like, they are not.
Have you ever seen like the beanbag? The beanbag guns?
What is it? It's just a shotgun with a beanbag inside of the shell.
Like there was a crazy dude who had like a samurai sword and was like out on the sidewalk. It was several years ago, and he was swinging it around, like threatening everyone. And they were like, you know, we obviously don't want to like have to actually shoot this guy. So they were trying to figure out how to disarm him because tasers weren't working for whatever reason. And they didn't want to get closer to tase him. And so they busted out the beanbag gun and they shot him with the beanbag. In the beanbag.
Oh, no.
Because they hit him several times, and he still just kept like, wah, 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 wah. And then they got him right in the nuts, and he was just like, oh.
Oops.
Yep.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message.
Mahoney, you always make it, you know, just so awkward when you go and do anything. All right, thanks, bye.
Message deleted.
When you go and do anything.
Just imagine sleeping with me.
Oh, no.
No. Let's just take a moment and do that.
Ugh. I'm probably snoring.
Oh, I thought you meant like actually like getting down.
No, I meant like laying next to me in a bed when we're trying to go to sleep.
Mahoney, whenever you do go into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Are you the person who, are you like an inaction type of man?
Inaction.
Like, are you like doing tricks, like flipping tricks? Or are you guys just like
jump?
Are you like comfy? You a comfy man?
Yes. I'm old.
Are you talking about when they're actually getting it on?
Yeah. Can you see Mahoney like flipping tricks? Like, can you see him like not even necessarily flipping tricks?
Even when I was at my peak,
like propping a leg up on like a dresser,
I'm just,
a nightstand.
Mahoney could have fooled us both in this lazy lover life, and he could really possibly not be like that.
Even at 21 years old or 18 years old, when he was at my absolute physical peak, there were no tricks. Being done. Like, there were tricks being eaten stands. Afterwards. I had to go get some cereal afterwards, which, by the way, underrated trick cereal, which I don't think tricks come, I don't think they make them in shapes anymore. I think they're all just like balls now.
Yeah.
Mahoney's version of turning tricks is just rotating his bowl.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I used to have a boss. I used to work for this construction company, and they said they were going to pay me $22 an hour. They didn't. And then my main job was doing all of the office stuff. Part of the job was writing sobriety letters for everyone, including my bosses, because I had never been on drugs before, stating that they are indeed sober. and qualified to do their job.
Message deleted.
You have to write sobriety letters about your boss at certain jobs?
I mean, that seems wild to me. Also, if they promised you a certain amount an hour and they're not coming through with that, then...
Whatever you signed, right? Oh, you have to sign paperwork?
Traditionally.
At every job?
Yeah.
So...
Or leave. You know, I mean, like, if they're lying to you about that, like, everything else kind of, you know, your duties, whatever. But if they're lying to you about the pay...
Yeah.
That's a huge... That's what red flag.
You got to be careful who you work for, man. There's just a lot of people out there that are just predatory.
Yep.
They'll tell you what you want to hear, then they get you working for them, and then they just take advantage of you.
You know what's really interesting in that predatory nature that I'm seeing this verbiage spread around the internet talking about how if you are having a boss that says that you're exceeding expectations or you're one to go above and beyond, you're doing too much.
You're doing too much.
No, they're saying that, like, you seriously, you're doing too much because you're setting precedent that you are willing to do all of that for what you're currently working at.
Yep.
Well, you tell them that, no, I'm not. I'm doing that because I need to be paid more. And if you're not willing to pay me more and you see how this place is run without me, then.
Good luck.
Yeah. Peace out.
That's a hard conversation to have, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fine line, right? And I think that bosses that value, like, they're like, I'm trying to get you
there's good bosses
more money,
out there,
and
sure.
they're like, they're fighting for you and everything else. But at the same time, there's more plenty of people out there.
Not.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. The thing that really stood out to me about her voicemail, though, is when she alluded to the fact that her boss was, like, trying to get her to lie on their behalf. And you're like, I ain't lying for my
boss.
I'm
going to need more money than that.
Yeah. I mean, I will
so
lie
you can be bought?
Boss,
you can be bought?
No, I am for sale.
For 100%. I also think that there are people out there, you know, there are people who become very attached to certain things that they do. Like, we have some friends who will never sell their house ever. They just, that's their house. That's where they live. Then we have other friends who they don't care about. It's just a house. It's an asset. It's a thing. And I think people view jobs that way. It's like, I have to stay in this job, or I've been doing that for so long and I don't want to move out. You know?
Because everyone's comfortable. People love being comfortable, and change is really, really shocking to what we know. They say that, you know, you don't grow from comfort zones. But, I mean, I think that there's definitely something different between letting your boss walk all over you and then having a home that you love for 20 years.
It's interesting how much our jobs define us in our society, right? Like, when you meet somebody new, what's the first thing they ask you? What do you do for a living?
See, in St. Louis, it's where'd you go to high school?
That's the very first question.
I mean, but here's the thing. That's where I grew up. That's where I went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I need to know about anybody I meet from St. Louis, it's where they went to high school. And I already know everything I need to know about them.
Really?
That's not fair.
No, it is 100%. It's
spot
accurate.
I think it's whether or not you stayed around in your high school area post.
Nah, man, it's how you grew up. It's how you grew up.
That's so not fair.
It defined you. The school I went to, we're all trash. All just giant trash buckets.
I went to trash school too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anytime I meet somebody from St. Louis and we ask and I tell them where I went, they give me that, like, you're just a straight piece of garbage.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So, does that not bother you that people would judge you
based
off of where you went to high school?
No, I know that.
Your parents put you in that school district, not you. You didn't choose that.
My parents bought that house when they were 20 years old.
So then you're knocking your parents.
Or 22 years old, and they had a newborn child.
Yeah.
And they stayed there until I graduated high school. Then they
left. Which that is 4 years of your life.
No, it's because we were broke. You know, it's like when you have a kid and you're like 22 years old and you're raising a child, you're not going to be double income, no kids. You know, it's a big difference in the way you live your life.
See, because for me, that sounds like you're kind of knocking your area.
Yeah, no, that's a North County, St. Louis. It's one of the worst places ever.
Yeah, he's from the mean streets. Like,
I will never go back there.
He didn't come up in luxury and double gated community like he lives in now.
Why do you think I married a very successful woman?
So she could pay the bills.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How does one go about faking their own death in these modern times? Is it even possible anymore?
Best way to do it, I would think, is a boating accident, and then you would have to disappear to a country that doesn't extradite and or doesn't have a huge infrastructure as far as, like, technology goes.
I mean, so let's think about this, though. If you were to fake your own death,
yeah.
You'd have to go to East County, St. Louis.
North County, St. Louis.
North County, St. Louis. I don't know.
I'd be like, no, I remember that guy from high school. That's right.
That's Jason. They want to put me in the Hall of Fame there. That's how bad that high school is. They want to
Hall of Fame. It's making more sense.
For being a successful member of the community.
You're successful?
They're high.
Oh, God.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So did you guys do anything for your mom for Mother's Day? I mean, other than the obligatory, here's a FaceTime call or
I took her to a movie on Friday.
Oh, that's right. Doctor Strange. You bought eight seats. You were the reason why it won the box office this weekend.
We didn't, and it turns out, did not need to buy those eight seats. We were there were only four other people in that entire theater. But it was an 11 a.m. show on a Friday, and it was the 3D one.
An absolute waste of money.
Yeah. Overspent on that one a little bit, and then took my mom. My mom came over to the house on Saturday, and she has found a newfound love. We introduced her to sushi.
Oh, she had never had sushi before?
She was never really, like, I would say about 6-8 months ago, we started, you know, we convinced her and my dad to go to sushi with us one night, and he's still not on board with it. He's more of a, he just gets the little potstickers.
Yeah.
Little goiza.
Yeah.
But my mom's all about the sushi, so
nice.
she had some sushi on Saturday, and just kind of hung out of the house for a couple hours. It was a good time.
In the chat, D-Nice, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney said, I drank a lot for Mother's Day. There you go. That's
in honor of your mother.
That's the way to do it. We did a staycation, so we didn't want to go out of town or anything. But, you know, my wife just gave birth just over a month ago to our fourth and final little baby, right? And all of our kids are young. I'm sure that you've heard me talk about them. But, you know, when you have four little kids, even the simple process of just, like, going out to eat.
Is a lot.
It's a lot. And I thought that we had everything under control. I made a reservation at a Mexican restaurant because she'd been talking about how she'd been craving going to a Mexican restaurant. So we started there. And, I mean, it was the first meal. We had just checked in, got our bags up to the room, all of that stuff. So excited to just, like, sit down and have a margarita and relax and enjoy, like, a little Friday evening, nice casual dinner sort of thing. And absolute pandemonium breaks.
What do you mean?
So I'm sitting there holding my 2-year-old son.
Okay.
My wife has the new baby.
Yeah.
And then we've got our 6-year-old who sits down at the table, and everything seems to be going fine. It's taking him a minute to, like, bring over the high chair, but that happens sometimes, right?
Is she sitting in a high chair still?
No. So just the Duke is in the high chair,
okay.
And then the baby's still in the car seat and all that
okay.
stuff. So pretty easy on the baby front. That's not where the problem was. The problem was when my 3-year-old went to go sit down at the table, I guess she bonked her nose, like the bridge of her nose on her cup.
Oh, no.
And her cup. Just such a weird thing to happen. And just blood everywhere.
Oh,
I mean, just starts gushing blood. And she's like, Mommy, what's wrong?
Blah, 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 blah. So she wasn't even crying?
No, she was. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I'm sitting here holding my son while trying to plug up my 3-year-old's nose. It's just gushing blood. And I swear, like, I take out the little wipes from my...
We had a Golden Corral. This is the worst kind of fountain.
This is... And I'm just like, oh, my God. So my wife finally eventually takes her to the bathroom after we're able to slow down the bleeding enough at the table. And our table's, like, right up front, too. So I know everyone's just like, what in the hell is wrong with this family?
No.
Blood everywhere. One kid's crying. Sienna's just sitting there mortified because her sister looks like she's about to bleed out.
Was she scared for her sister?
Well, I mean, a little bit. It was a lot of blood, you know.
Yeah.
And I went through probably 30 different. I had to
30?
It was a lot. It was a lot. It just kept bleeding.
Did you eventually get your food?
Yeah, I mean, eventually we got our food, and I probably ordered a couple extra margaritas.
It was
a scene, though, man. So that was just kind of like how things started. And then from there, I was like, you know what? Let's just get in-room dining from here on out, because us going out to restaurants, not exactly.
Your middle daughter is such a trooper, though, because if that would have been me at 30, I would have been crying at that table. Like,
she didn't cry. Didn't even cry. Didn't even react. Just starts bleeding everywhere.
Bleeding everywhere. And then her tacos tasted a little bit more like iron.
Well, I was trying to, like, have her tilt her head back, and she's like...
She's like waterboarding herself.
Like, oh, my God.
Oh, God.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Missed Connection Inspection.
Everyone's out there looking for love in their own way, Mahoney, and sometimes that way is through Craigslist. That's the only way to get there. It's to get online and post on Craigslist and see if maybe that person that you had a brief encounter with when you were out and about will also be surfing through Craigslist and be thinking about you in that same way.
Well, sometimes you have these moments where ships are passing in the night and You wonder, was that person also thinking about me? And you don't want to wonder. These are people of action, Dave. They're shooting their shot.
This one's entitled, I Saw You at the Smoke Shop. And then the post is, I saw you at the smoke shop. We were both buying oil burners. Let's have good oil and let's meet up. Is that code for something?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just...
What are oil burners?
I think oil, it's for dabs.
Okay.
Is what I'm assuming. I don't know.
What's a dab? What are dabs?
I think that that's just like the, whenever it's like the...
Is that hash?
Super I think so.
Okay.
I think it's like cool. The really condensed version of like weed, so you get like really, really high.
Oil
I think,
burners
I don't know.
Equals meth pipes, according to Ian.
Oh, let's do meth together. Okay.
Do you think like...
See, that's how removed I am. I'm just like, I think it's for weed.
No, we don't. You think the meth lovemaking is pretty
good?
Passionate?
Ugh. I bet it would be fast. Like, I feel like if it's not fast in action, it's fast in your brain. Like, everything is just... Yeah. Moving 1,000 times faster than your body.
Like, there's certain things that, like, I would be willing to try.
I mean, MDMA this one is entitled Starbucks Saturday Funny Connection. Funny moment at Starbucks. I was the guy on the phone. I said, I love you to my son as we made eye contact. We laughed, and you left saying, bye, honey. Can we have another moment like this?
What?
Also, why are you talking on the phone in line at Starbucks?
Yeah.
I do that all the time. Is
are
that
you
bad?
Rude.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
rude.
I don't like this. The narrative of that I'm supposed to just not be on my phone anywhere other than in my home or my car.
No, I mean just while you're in line.
What's it matter?
Because there's other people around you.
But I'm not like sitting here divulging top secret CIA.
But they can hear you.
Like top secret stuff.
Anything. It doesn't matter. It's even worse if you're not divulging cool, interesting things.
So pick a lane, Mahoney. Do you want me to divulge all of my dirty laundry?
I mean, if I was
Starbucks?
Standing in line at a Starbucks and there's like a hot blonde in front of me talking like some crazy ass stuff, I might be slightly more interested. But then if you were talking about like, can
laundry?
You go pick up our laundry?
No,
but
no
very
if
loudly.
If you're just like, put the head on him. Tell Vladimir I said hello. Click.
Whoa.
Like, hey. Ooh, dangerous.
I'm a spy.
This one's entitled Two Girls. Hey, I just saw you two beautiful girls walking away, and I was really interested in the taller of you two. If either of you see this, hit me up and let's connect.
I was interested in the one, but I'll take both.
Yeah. No details.
I'll take any.
Where this was, no. When it was, no. Just two women, one slightly taller than the other, mm-hmm. And he's got an interest or a panache.
But I feel
one.
Like that's just kind of how men are, right? It's like, if you're interested in me, the taller one, and this works awesome. If not, I'll just take whatever I can get.
No, I'll take the shorter one.
No.
Guys aren't like that?
I'm not, personally.
If you were posting on Craigslist, you absolutely.
I'm saying when I was single, uh-huh. And we were out at bars, and if there were a group of ladies who were out, and the one I was interested in was not interested in me, I would not go for the uglier friend because I would feel like I'm getting a I feel like I'm losing.
Did you just always say consignment version of
not
the first one?
like a concession.
Yeah,
this is
yeah,
like
yeah.
A Goodwill version.
It's like a participation trophy. I'm fine with that. Like I'll take it.
No.
I don't care. It depends. one's like a 10 and one's like a 3. You're not like okay.
That's the difference. That's a big swing.
That's what you can't.
That's a huge
date,
swing.
Which you know you can't date the ugly sibling. Like if you roll into a household and you're like the other siblings are much more attractive than the other one and you're with the ugly one, you feel like you lost.
See, but like genetic roulette isn't necessarily their fault. You know that maybe at least your kids later will have a fighting chance. You know, like yeah. Maybe if it's you do it, maybe banking on the fact that maybe they'll produce some D1 athletes for
no,
you.
I'm just saying in that particular circumstance when they are right next to each other.
Oh, because then you're sitting there fantasizing about the sister.
No, because you would always, like, if you're that's your best friend, you can't date somebody whose best friend's hotter than them. You got to date the hot one.
Here's another gay experience at Lowe's. I don't know what it is with Home Depot and Lowe's, but dudes are always trying to get down.
On the down Lowe's.
This one is entitled Red Plaid Shirt at Lowe's. You are the man with the red plaid shirt that let me share your umbrella this morning. I'm the man that was wearing a green Carhartt t-shirt. First, thank you. It was raining pretty hard. If you see this, I would love to properly thank you.
I mean, there is just something about somebody who knows how to use their hands. I mean, maybe that's what the aphrodisiac is about those home improvement stores, Dave.
Well, this gentleman, I don't know why my brain just went here, but this gentleman was talking about how he wanted to be able to please the other gentleman allowing him to use his umbrella. Do you think that it would be really funny in a game of thanking the other gentleman if he wore like one of those little umbrella hats instead?
Could be handy at a certain point.
For this, yeah.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
So some, what I assume, absolute junkie in Minnesota was betting on the Kentucky Derby this weekend and managed to hit the superfecta. A $1 bet on the superfecta, which means he had to pick the four horses that were going to come in top four.
And keep
in mind, the horse that won, in order to even get into the Kentucky Derby, there had to be two scratches and was 80-1.
One of the longest shots ever.
Should not have even been in the race. No. Two scratches is what got this stupid horse
in the pony. Looked feral, to be completely honest.
And what he did after the race is what makes me respect him. But this person in Minnesota, $1 bet, $321,500.
Why is it, Dave, you and I, especially when we've been out drinking and gambling, always love to bet the longest shots?
Well, because it's ridiculous. You're like, there's no way that this horse is going to win, but let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
But, of course, the one time that we did bet on the super long shot horse, it was a quarter-mile race.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that story?
No.
It was like the whole pack of them goes roaring by because it's a super short race.
Right.
And then, like, a solid 2 seconds later, you see our horse come galloping along because he was like a 95
to 1. He had a bad day.
No, he was just a terrible horse.
Yeah, so, and they knew.
He was rated as such, and we thought we were going to have the same type of luck. But anyway, Rich Strike wins the Kentucky Derby at 80-1. And then after the race is over, is just out there biting the crap out of the other horses.
Which, if you've never seen a horse bite a person or another horse, like horse bites,
I didn't know that they would like bite each other on the neck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you just got to think about like anything that's younger, horsing around. Anything that's younger in general, they just kind of act up and misbehave, right? So it's kind of the fact that this horse was able to have enough testosterone because he's young, a young horse, to make it through the end of the race that way and then still have all the energy to want to play and, like, fight and act like a young horse,
yeah,
a pony.
It did look like he was playing. It looked like he woke up that morning and chose
violence.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Audrey was talking about when she was a bartender and another bartender pretended to be a baseball player to pick up on chicks. Before the advent of the smartphone, that was one of the best games in the world. Whenever we would do a pub crawl in Pioneer Square, I'd find out whatever team was in town. And since I worked at a valet garage where a lot of lawyers parked, I always got tipped in tickets. And I would just say I was some scrub middle reliever that got called up, and I'd say it had about a 75% success rate. So it does work. It is creepy if you are 35, but I was only 24 at the time, so I think I'm okay.
Message deleted.
See, this is what freaks me out about the dating world again. I mean, seriously, it freaks me out about, because people can just be whoever they want to be. If I don't know you like that, you know what I mean? Like, if for people who are on dating websites or apps or whatever,
you don't background check somebody?
Well, I mean, I'm not on them.
No, I mean, just in general, like, you meet somebody new, and if you're, like, interested in them, like, at least for me, I go full deep dive, like, instantly.
No, but you're crazy like that.
I'm not crazy like that.
You stalked your wife.
Sure did.
See?
Okay, so
make sure she was normal.
Mm-hmm.
How far do you deep dive?
Actually, she did a poor job.
I was going to say.
She did not. No, I mean, I go deep. Like, I mean, literally, like, there are, if you're just willing to spend $5, literally $5, you can get a full, basically, background check on anybody.
Yeah.
It's, most people are just like, they want to go to the free ones. Don't be cheap. Spend $5.
I feel like I'm going to get scammed.
I could put you in touch with what I do. Or if you want to.
You have a sleuthing method that you're going to share with her?
Yeah, I'm down to help out all of my friends.
So where are the things that, like, what should a person be looking for first? Like, what do you deep dive? Like, what are you trying to find?
Arrest records first.
Arrest records are
number one.
Okay.
I mean, arrest records, location, you know, like, even if you just have their cell phone number, there's a lot of information that you can find from that. But, like, if they are giving you you know, here's what I do. A lot of the employment records finding, there's and stuff you find on LinkedIn is not legitimate, but there are other things that are that you could other avenues you can go to find out where they actually have worked and where they've gotten tax returns from.
So how often, because, you know, we'll see like celebrity websites like TMZ that are constantly checking arrest records to see if any celebrities ping, right?
Yep.
And then that becomes a big story. And, you know, it's very hard if you're a major celebrity to get away with
anything
right? Yeah. Because the arrest records will hit you. But let me ask you this. When it comes to searching arrest records, how often are you doing that for
people, I know?
People you know?
I mean, when I get bored.
So the reason
I ask
is because Mahoney found out that someone that we used to work with had gotten arrested and wasn't saying anything about it, and just straight up like knew all of the details about everything about that case.
I had the arrest report.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then would like basically kind of like hint around to see if there was any truth to what they were saying in certain situations, to see if they would be willing to admit that they'd gotten in trouble. Never did.
I don't think this is crazy. I think it's protecting yourself, especially if you are looking for somebody who you're dating and you're going to be spending time with and who are you're letting into your sphere, your world, doing like your due diligence, not just combing their social media, I think is important.
See,
I would do that for any of my friends.
See, what's crazy is that I hear that and that sounds logical. That sounds like, okay, I want to protect myself. But whenever, if I were to start actively trying to do that, like if I were to start trying to deep dive, to me, like it's almost, I don't know if it's my anxiety that gets the best of me, but I feel like I'm like reaching a level of creep that somebody, a guy would be like, you did a whole background check.
You found out that I got arrested in 2014? Like, what are you talking about?
You don't have to tell him about it.
That's true.
Why would you tell them about it?
But is that weird?
No, you are. It's like the same thing. Like when you're hiring somebody at a job, this is basically part of the interview process. This is the interview process for us to move forward.
Huh. What do you think, Dave? Do you feel like a background check is a little too much before going on a first date?
A first date? I mean, if you're going, maybe like, not. They're not coming to your house or anything. Yeah. They're not picking
public,
you up.
It's different.
You're going somewhere public. Like, you don't need to do a deep dive on them.
But if you're thinking about, like, they're coming over to your house.
If things are getting more serious, and then you're like, okay, like, I just want to make, especially if you get that feeling, right? Like, you have pretty good intuition.
Yeah.
It seems like you would kind of pick up that something's a little off. Like, most BS artists are good enough to get by in, like, casual settings. But when it starts to get more serious and you start to dig, I think most people have the alarm bell starting to go off that something's just a little bit off. And if that's the case, then I'd start sleuthing.
If I have to have, if my intuition is telling me that I need to do a deep dive on someone, I feel like that's a red flag enough.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That I don't need to go through and check someone's arrest records.
I'm doing it on everybody.
I feel like I would rather check their arrest records my Lyft drivers than like a first date.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm climbing into your car.
Yeah.
I'm not banging my Lyft drivers though.
Well, not yet.
Well, they don't want to bang me.
It's a one-way ride.
Yeah.
Please leave a message solo after the tone.
10 years ago, when I was moving, my dad was deciding it would be a good idea in front of my girlfriend to say, here, have my big old box of porn. It was just a very awkward experience. And then I told him, no thanks. I've already watched all of them.
Message deleted.
That's share porn with your dad.
Anybody. That's just because
The
connotation that comes along, comes along with it, is you just know. Like, this is what the thing that creeped me out the most is that when we were in pre-internet times, when we would steal our friends' dads' like tapes.
Uh-huh.
You had to rewind it to that same exact moment where it stopped.
Yeah.
But also, you know where it stopped for a reason because that's when,
yeah.
And so when you like start putting those things together, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh.
See, I was never smart enough. Well, I was never smart enough to know any of that. And I always found my parents like their magazines.
Your parents had magazines?
They had magazines. And they had, one time I found like strawberry lube.
Oh, God.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
No. So did you try it?
I did.
No, you did not.
Oh, God. No.
I wasn't thinking at the time like that.
Oh, my God.
You're the worst.
How was it?
It was horrible.
These people need to do deep dives on her.
Yeah.
You're the creep.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the creep.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
All right, Mahoney, I know that you and your dog Trigger had a tumultuous relationship.
He was a Jack Russell Terrier.
Yep.
He taunted me for much of his younger life.
Mm-hmm.
He was a son of a bitch who should come up and bite me.
Mm-hmm.
No reason. Wake me up for no reason.
Yep.
All the time, for years. Tormented me. Then he got older.
And you tormented him back.
And when he got deaf and I could sneak up on him, oh, I scared the crap out of him all the time.
Yeah.
Life's a bitch.
So is your mom.
That's right. Literally.
So they, you know, thinking about annoying pets, right? And my roommates, my former roommates, ferret that would wait for me all day. He would wait for me behind the couch until I would come home. And then he would come running out and bite me on the ankle. A literal ankle biter.
I don't think he waited behind the couch literally all day.
All day.
My guess is he could probably hear your car door close or whatever. And
then he ran over there. And,
yeah.
I think he was behind the couch all day, sharpening his little fangs, getting ready to bite me right in the ankle.
I love Ferret.
Son of a bitch. That little slinky rat. I wanted to punt him. Never did. But, oh, God, I hated him.
Oh, man.
My ferrets were lovely. They never bit me once.
Never once?
Brutus, Bonnie. Bandit.
Were you like the Kris Jenner of ferrets?
Yeah, they all have B names.
Covered in ferrets. All do they really?
Yeah, I'd put them around my neck.
Yeah.
Let them hang out there.
Ferrets stink, man. They stink.
So my mom's best friend back then was a ferret breeder.
Oh, God.
And so that's why.
How do you get into that breeder, line of work?
Right?
It was very profitable.
Like, what went wrong where you ended up going, all right, my only thing.
She loved animals, and so she bred those. Same thing with my mom. My mom had a bunch of exotic birds. Well, let me tell you, with the price of exotic birds, like, in this day and age, like, if you're trying to buy a cockatoo, it's like $5,000.
That is the perfect segue, because this story is actually about a cockatoo. So this guy bought a cockatoo, and birds are loud, and they, I mean, my parents have a parrot named Petey. We thought it was a guy for many years until it laid an egg one time. Anyway, long story short, they've had, every time I'm on the phone with my mom, I hear this damn bird in the background just squawking, just will not
you
shut
go,
up.
You go, like, noise blind to it when you live with it, but when you don't live with it, it's the, like kind of like the smoke detector beep. You just become immune to it at some point.
But, I mean, we're talking about these birds live like 80 years.
African greys, which are the smartest birds, and they have the widest vocabulary, live about 80 years. Cockatoos, I think they live anywhere between 30 and 45 years, if I'm recalling correctly. But a 30-year or 40-year commitment for any pet is insane.
It's a lot. Well, this particular cockatoo that has gone viral on TikTok is become a sensation online for a particular reason, because, of course, you remember this song from all the way back in the early 2000s. I think it was like 2000 when it first came out, but Bodies by Drowning Pool.
Oh, yeah.
This cockatoo, I guess, is a big fan of that song.
It's on Audrey's Butt Rock
Baddies
playlist.
That's right. Yeah.
I just bought a cockatoo from a guy on Craigslist, and it keeps on making these noises. If you guys know what he's saying, could you tell me what do you make of this?
Hello, pretty bird. What you saying?
One, there is something wrong with me. I mean, if you don't vibe to that, as a new pet owner?
No, that bird slaps.
Hold on. Yeah. I mean, I want to believe this, and obviously that bird has learned the words to Bodies. Do you think that this guy really bought him from, like, some metalhead who played that song over and over again? Or is the guy kind of looks like one of those hipsters that would teach his bird how to do this?
I don't care. If you went out of your way to teach your bird how to sing Bodies by Drowning Pool, I am here to sub to your channel.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents
Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
So Mahoney swears that he is on a winning streak. He's not. He actually lost last week.
I don't recall that.
Okay, well, we'll do it again, shall we? You guys are going to be asked the same questions today. Mahoney, to start things off, would you please leave?
No, Dave. Okay, well.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, I was going to say.
It's really going to mess up the game. So Mahoney is going to walk across the hall to the sound.
I'm leaving because I want to, not because you told me to.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we get it.
You're so free.
Okay. I bet he said that whenever he was a kid.
Yeah.
I can envision that, because he's a single child syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm nervous about this, Dave. I'm not sure how this is going to go.
Total of 6 questions, so you have a pass. You can use the pass whenever you want. You're just trying to get more correct than Mahoney.
Okay.
Good luck. In which city is Heathrow International Airport located?
In what city?
Yep.
Is Heathrow Boston? I don't know. City? Yeah, I don't know.
Heathrow is in London. Big airport in London.
Oh, I don't know.
It's all right. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Okay.
Wait, am I supposed to know that? Is that like common knowledge?
Yeah. I think so.
Is it?
What is the capital of Kentucky?
Frankfort.
Yes.
Most people do not know that.
We'll see if Mahoney does, but you are on the board with one. Well done. Here we go. On to question number three, you still have a pass. What is the name of the automobile instrument that measures mileage?
Okay, so that is your... Okay. The speedometer is your speed.
Mm-hmm.
Odometer.
Yeah, there it is. Two. Still have a pass. Question number four. What is the name of Socrates' most famous student? You do have a pass.
Oh, okay. I'll pass.
Okay. Would you have guessed? What would you have guessed?
I have no idea. I know.
Plato is the correct answer.
Oh,
there.
Plato.
Yeah.
It gets everywhere.
It does. It gets hard if you leave it out. Question number five. Pass is burnt. You have two correct. What is the only word that the raven says in Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven?
Oh, I don't know. Like murder or something? I don't know.
No.
Trying to think of something spooky.
Nevermore.
Nevermore.
All right, two on the board. Final question. No more pass. What was the name of the Zeppelin that exploded in Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937?
Jeez, these questions are hard. Yeah. Okay, you got to repeat that question.
There was a Zeppelin that exploded.
Zeppelin is a blimp, right?
Basically.
Okay.
In Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937.
Yeah, what about it?
What's its name?
Okay. Led.
Led Zeppelin? No, unfortunately not. The Hindenburg.
Okay.
All right. Tell Mahoney to come back in.
Tough.
I know.
Mahoney. Good luck, homie, because that was rough. Not rough because like I just haven't been asked any type of question on any of these topics.
Yeah.
And maybe since school.
I'm feeling a little lightheaded. If I'm gonna be honest.
Did you just run?
No, I bent over to tie my shoe.
Oh my God, are you okay?
He went up too fast.
Oh no!
I stood up a little down
too long, and then he came up too fast.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, I actually just think the bending over.
Just
part.
That was it. Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Boy, that
wasn't great.
Whew. Low
right.
Iron.
Well, do you need a minute to compose yourself? Should we take a break and come back?
No, we can power through. We can go.
All right, good.
What
good.
Do we got?
All right, question number one. In which city is Heathrow International Airport located?
London.
London is correct.
So I guess that is common knowledge.
Yeah, yes.
I've never been. Sure, it's lovely.
It's beautiful. What is the capital of Kentucky?
Lexington?
See, he did it. She called that you were going to do that. Frankfurt.
Whatever. Correct. Same difference.
Same difference, sure. Question number three. What is the name of the automobile instrument that measures mileage?
Odometer.
Odometer is correct. Two on the board. You still have a pass. What is the name of Socrates' most famous student?
I should know this.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a pass.
I know. I'm trying. Just give me a couple seconds. I'm running. Pass.
Okay. Plato.
Yeah.
All right, two more questions to go. You have two on the board.
I used to get all the like stuff in it when you play with it.
Yeah. Hairs.
Yeah, a lot of hair. A lot of hair.
A lot of so hair.
That's how you knew you were poor.
That's how I know that.
Because your parents never got you new Play-Doh.
Or it would be brown.
Brown, multicolored, hairy Play-Doh.
Yep.
And that's how I know somebody hates me is when they get my kids Play-Doh as a birthday present. Like, don't do that.
Slime's worse.
Yeah.
Slime is fun. You
don't think slime's
at
worse?
Nah, Play-Doh's worse.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Two more questions. What is the only word that the raven says in Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven?
Nevermore.
Nevermore is correct.
No.
That is three.
Quote
and
The Raven, nevermore.
Final question. What was the name of the Zeppelin that exploded in Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937?
That would be the Hindenburg.
I'm out. Dang, Mahoney. The
he
final two.
Yep.
Good job.
Oh, humanity.
That was bad.
You don't remember that?
No, I said it was Led Zeppelin, and I also...
Jimmy Page, Robert Plant.
Dave and Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Audrey, when I ask you, is Mahoney a good friend or a bad friend, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
He's a good friend.
Good friend, yeah.
Best friend.
Best friend, there you go.
I'm not a great casual friend, but like if we are, you know, I consider you to be a friend, somebody who I see and communicate with on a regular basis, I'm all in.
The reason why I ask is because, you know, you've been accused of being lazy in the past.
Okay, but laziness has nothing to do with friendship.
Well, so, but here's where it ties together. Mahoney actually brought this up the other day. He asked, quote, do I have to text you happy birthday if I liked your Instagram birthday post?
Yes, Mahoney. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Feels like it's just
it's not
pandering.
Too much
it's
work.
Not redundant no, because there is a difference between because that's for everybody. The Instagram post is for like everybody or whatever. If you're liking it that they've already posted, it would be different if you posted about them individually on yours. Then I would say you don't have to like reach
if
out.
If you are a true friend. Okay. I don't have to even like your Instagram post of your birthday, and we're good. Like, I missed my best friend's birthday the other day. It was April 30th.
Uh-huh.
I forgot to call him.
You would normally have called him, though.
I normally would call him, yeah.
Okay.
But that's what we normally do. But this year, it's just, you know, I forgot. Things were going on.
Well, that's fine, but it's not like...
And it was fine. Then I was texting with him yesterday.
The conscious effort to not, though, is what I think is the problem.
No,
here.
I mean, I just feel like if I've liked all of your birthday posts...
Like, you're fully
posts,
aware. Like, if you forgot something as a grown man, like, to another grown man, who cares, right? Like,
yeah, whatever.
Life's busy. I get it. But if you are sitting there doing absolutely nothing, going, I know it's their birthday, and I don't want to text them because it's too much extra lifting... That is
no, it's not too much extra lifting. I've already liked all of your birthday posts acknowledging that it is your birthday.
Mm. Okay, so but a step in the same vein, just across the street here.
And the reason why I don't my best friend who I call, he's not on social media.
Mm.
Zero social media presence. Okay.
So what would you do if you were in a group chat with this guy and a bunch of other people and they were all saying happy birthday? Do you side message this person
no.
and say happy birthday?
Chime in the group text, or do you just double tap and heart somebody else saying happy birthday?
I've been a part of something like that, and I'll like whatever message, except for when some clown's using an Android phone in a group message. Hey, if you're on the Android phone in a group message,
you out.
You're out of the friendship group.
See, that is
bananas. And also, you old ass folks who are also, when you're good enough a friend that we haven't booted you out for having the green bubble. And then these other idiots on iPhones who are liking the, doing those options. That's not how it works.
Mahoney, then I'm you get really extra, surprised by you.
You get extra texts.
So the reason, I don't mean to pile on you here, Mahoney, so I apologize if it seems that way.
I'm surprised by him.
I'm a little bit surprised by that. I'm also a little bit surprised about what you did to our friend on Friday. You just straight up ghosted him at lunch. Like, you guys had planned to go to lunch, and you got a text with the, hey, are you here? And
no,
you were
I didn't.
Walking into a movie theater.
Well, yes, I had my days mixed up because we were off a few days last week, and one of our friends texted me and asked me to go to lunch. And I said, yeah, of course, I'd love to see you. It's been too long. Let's go get some food. We set the place, the time, 11 o'clock on a Friday. And unfortunately, I had forgotten that I had made plans with my mom to take her to go see Doctor Strange. And I thought I was making plans with him on Saturday, not Friday, so my days got mixed up. I would never do that. Like, no matter how big of a dick I am, I would never intentionally leave somebody, like, stand somebody up. That's horrible.
Did you follow up with him? Did he sit in that restaurant alone and eat by himself?
I assume he ate alone because he was already there and he's probably hungry and got a limited amount of time.
Sure.
But I said I was very, I meant it. And I was very sorry, and I felt bad, and I did
a public apology on Twitter.
I even made it a public, which wasn't asked for.
Did he like your post on Twitter?
Yeah,
he did, and commented.
He said it was fine because he knows that I'm not the type of I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a stand you up type of person.
Yeah,
that's a dick move.
No, I'm with you. It just surprised me that you did that because you have so much free time.
It was a timing issue. Like, and if had I been doing literally anything else, like had I been somewhere else or been at home and like realized that I was late or this, I got my days wrong, but I was literally walking into a movie with my mom the day before Mother's Day.
Did you Venmo him or send him money as a sorry and buy him lunch?
I don't have Venmo or any money transferring service.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Who do you bank with?
I'm not saying that on the air.
You have
He's
Zelle.
He's so paranoid, like everybody.
Like they're going to be like, Mahoney's banks with Bank of America or Wells Fargo. And
they'll know who I'm banking with.
Then they all of the major banks have Zelle, and yes.
I don't know how to use it.
You push a button on your app.
It says Zelle.
I've never done it.
Yeah.
But I told him I would take him out to a fine dining establishment to make it up for
him. It's going to be Texas Day Brazil. No, there's going to be two dudes staring at each other eating meats.
Applebee's.
Hey, you think that what's wrong with two dudes, you know,
just staring
eating picanha to each other while eating au gratin potatoes and having that cheese cover our chests? You
it
know,
it feels just, like a grosser version of Lady and the Tramp.
Like, why do those two guys have their shirts off?
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash.
Box office, Doctor Strange 2 crushed it, $185 million. Mahoney, you went and saw it over the weekend with your mom.
I did, and I took it. It's the closest thing Marvel will ever have to a horror movie. It was fun. It wasn't the best Marvel movie.
It was fun.
It was fun. Okay. It was just a fun movie. Sam Raimi, the director of movies like, I mean, obviously he did the original Spider-Man trilogy with Tobey Maguire, but more famously known for his Evil Dead series.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a horror background. And I liked it. If you're a Marvel super fan, it will blow you away if you avoid all the spoilers. And I it's a B-, B-plus, somewhere in there. But so I guess that would just make it a B.
Worth the watch, though? I mean, would you recommend? Yeah.
Yeah. If you like Marvel movies, I mean, you're either a Marvel person, a superhero movie person, or you're not.
Yeah.
And call me basic-ass bitch, whatever. I am firm in that category. I like him.
And you think that it helped that he had a horror background like most of us do from our college years?
Yeah. But I like Benedict Cumberbatch, too. He's
terrible interview.
Dude,
great
he
actor.
Wasn't a terrible interview,
He was a
Dave.
Terrible interview.
We interviewed him for The Desolation of Smog, one of the...
Desolation of Smog.
One of the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
And he was so nice.
A huge star. He is so nice.
The fact that he was even on, we even had him on our show was wild.
That's massive.
We didn't have him on our show because the interview was so boring, we didn't air it.
Oh, really?
It was very long.
But he seems like a quiet type.
He is. And I mean, he's, maybe calling him a terrible interview is not fair. It wasn't interesting in any way, though. And I feel like it's your job, if you're out promoting something, to say something that's of interest. It didn't have to be provocative, didn't have to be edgy or any of that stuff. Just anything interesting. We were just looking for like, okay, do we have 30 seconds here of anything that's interesting? And the answer was no.
It was
nothing. Terrible.
I think it reflects on us as interviewers.
Is that the problem?
I think that's what it was. But he is great in this movie, and the fact that it made $180+ million kind of says the summer blockbuster is back.
Yeah. The fact that movies are doing that kind of...
I mean, we saw Spider-Man 3 do absolute gangbusters. Yep. And this one's doing absolute gangbusters. I mean, when it comes to movies, I mean, I'm not compelled to go see really anything in the theater that's not a big-time action movie.
Well, that's what we're seeing. All these, you know, the ones that are the big action movies, all the people that were saying movie theaters are dead were maybe overstating things.
Well, I think it may be dead for certain types of movies, but I think that there are certain movies that are better in theaters, and I think Doctor Strange is one of those.
So this is a bummer for him. Fred Savage has been fired from the Wonder Years reboot, which I imagine is like the only thing he was waiting on.
Actually, he was doing a lot of... He's actually produced a lot of things. He was a producer on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for
a while.
Yeah, he's done. Huh. He's actually been working pretty consistently in Hollywood behind the scenes for many years. And I'll say this. As far as network shows, the Wonder Years reboot is the best show on network television.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Like, it... Dule Hill, the entire cast of that show are so good. It really kind of captures what the original Wonder Years did to us in that nostalgia. And it is well written, well acted. So, I mean, these allegations, there's been some other allegations that have floated around over the years about Fred Savage, but this one, Disney said they did an investigation, and they're not saying it's like maybe of sexual nature, but there was some impropriety that went down. So he's gone.
Yeah,
so
it sounds like he's an a-hole. So they said, recently we were made aware of allegations of inappropriate conduct by Fred Savage. As a policy, we launched an investigation. Upon its completion, the decision was made to terminate his employment as an executive producer and director of the Wonder Years. I guess that there's...
So he's just insufferable to work with.
Yeah, Deadline reported that Savage, who, you know, obviously appeared in the original, like you were just saying, exhibited inappropriate behavior on set by, like, screaming at people, verbal outbursts, stuff like that throughout the course of the production. So it just sounds like he's an a-hole.
Which, I mean, I feel like in any type of instance, if you were screaming while you're working, I don't care. You can't be a prima donna. Like,
inappropriate workplace behavior.
Period.
And you should be able to be fired for being an a-hole, even if you're Fred Savage.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're not.
Does that name have, like, weight to it?
No.
I mean, it does to an extent when it comes to the Wonder Years.
But you're also Fred Savage. Yeah. Like, you're dispensable.
No, I'm not. It is what it is. I'm just saying, guys, go watch the Wonder Years. Even though our buddy Hades in chat said it's a S remake, just like every other remake. It's not a remake, though. It's different. And it definitely approaches different things. I think, like, literally, I am not a fan of pretty much anything on network television, but this one hits all of the right notes. And the last episode had Aloe Black in it, which...
Oh, really?
Dude, yes.
Aloe Black's great.
Dude, phenomenal.
I'm curious if that 90s show is going to be any good.
Well, they're bringing most of the
cast back.
Like
the whole cast,
except
much,
for Danny Masterson, because he's, you know, the worst.
Yeah.
Should probably be in prison.
And finally, speaking of big movies and blockbusters that I think that you would go see in the theaters, James Gunn just wrapped Guardians 3.
Yeah.
So that was obviously pretty dramatic how he ended up getting back in to do Guardians 3 after all.
Well, you talk about people who were canceled, and he was canceled because he had these, he made some jokes on Twitter 12 years ago when Twitter was a different place, and was especially a guy who, you know, had a background from trauma, you know, coming from that world of just like kind of shock comedy.
Yeah.
But literally every single person on his crew stepped up and said, this dude is not like that. This is a guy who we stand behind. And Dave Bautista from the WWE, who plays Drax the Destroyer from the Guardian series, said, I will not do another movie without James Gunn. Like, and that was kind of like his big breaking point. He's like, this is the guy who brought me to the table. I'm not doing it without him. And I have a lot of
respect for Bautista after
and
that.
And if we've seen anything, James Gunn, one of the best directors in Hollywood, period.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, the Peacemaker,
he
made John Cena
funny.
Yep.
That's not easy.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Getting out of the shower the other day, looking in the mirror, thinking, man, my body's looking something out of Hollywood. It looks some kind of interesting. And I'm thinking to myself, what out of Hollywood is my body looking like? And it hit me. The damn alien from Meatballs. Y'all ever seen that movie Meatballs from the 80s? Man, it was a great camp type movie. But that damn alien's face, that's exactly what my body looks like. And all. Hope y'all have a good day.
Message deleted.
I mean, the Hollywood body type now is just steroids.
I mean, it's steroids and all of the sculpting. And I mean, when you have access, like you've said it many times, like, you're not ugly. You're just poor.
Yeah.
Like the amount
of work. We just don't make enough money.
That all of these, you know, the people that are hot professionally, because there's plenty of professional hot people, men and women, but specifically women, right? It's like you really think like Kim Kardashian's in the gym for 3 hours a day to maintain a body like that? No, like, she's just getting a ton of work done. Fine.
And doing work that goes along with that. But
of course,
like, my wife works out literally every day of her life. She works out for 90 minutes plus every day of her life, and she's like, I eat healthy and I'm working out every day, and there's just things that don't change.
Yeah, because, you know, you're a normal person.
Yeah. And I will say,
if you want to drop thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on it, you, I'm sure, could get that adjusted like everything else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at pictures of me from when I was in, like, we saw that, Audrey, I showed you a picture of me from, what, 2007?
Yep.
And I was much younger. I mean, literally, that's, what, almost 15 years ago. And I look infinitely better, even though I'm heavier now than I was then, because I have a lot more money than I did when I was, you know.
Because you have more money. You got two watches on now. Look at you go.
Oh, I'm only wearing one right
now. Are you?
My, my other watch charger's broke. But no, it is. It's true. It's like it goes to show you. It's like if you dress better and you get better haircuts or whatever it may be, you just exude that.
Haircuts is it. Honestly, yeah. I think that if you have a
better hair,
if you have a really good haircut for a guy, it is leaps and bounds in a positive direction for
and
you.
If you have a beard. To properly maintain that beard.
Yeah, you can't go walking around with some scraggle.
Like, because it's one thing, because that's like, I used to not shave my cheeks.
Oh, okay.
Back then, so it was less definition. Now it looks like, basically,
clean
I'm just...
Clean lines.
Well, it's contouring.
Yeah.
It's like what Kim Kardashian does with all the makeup. It's, beards are just face contour for dudes. It makes, my beard makes me look like I have a defined jawline when I really, in fact, do not.
Kyle said, I am pugly, poor, and ugly. Which... I think it should become a thing.
Pugly?
Pugly, yeah.
But doesn't that also sound like you look like the dog pugs?
It makes me feel like that the definition of pugly isn't poor and ugly. It just, like you're stumpy. Like you're a stump person.
A stump person?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, just like, kind of, not necessarily short, because like, whatever. Yeah, but like a stump. Like a stump
butt.
Person. Like kind of just boxy.
Yeah.
I challenge you four to all get a colonic and compare the results on air.
No.
You don't have to broadcast pictures. Just sounds like a great segment. After tugging it and everything else, you can go, who's colonicking it? Anyways, love the show.
Message deleted.
Why would you ever even want that? And why would we look?
No,
what's in there?
We could definitively figure out who is the most full of S.
It's going to be me.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Audrey, what are you doing right this second?
I was looking on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you had talked about how you were just doom scrolling on TikTok last weekend for, was like 12 hours or something like that on a single given day. Was this past weekend any better? Did you spend less time on social media?
Yeah, because I was just more busy.
Yeah.
I was just like...
Other stuff?
Yeah.
Sure.
How long do you spend on your phone looking at social media when you're going to bed?
Oh, recently it has been pretty bad. I've just been like Dave said, doom scrolling, just trying to find a way to turn my brain off. So probably like 3 hours.
You think, does that turn your brain off though?
No,
I mean, for me, it's
it doesn't.
I feel like
learn.
Having to put my phone down is the quickest way for me to fall asleep.
See, I think that if I am scrolling, then I am not in my head, but then when I turn it off, then I'm in my head, so then I turn it back on, and then it's a vicious cycle.
Have you thought about listening to podcasts, though? Like, because, I mean, I know that's what works for me. When I'm hearing somebody else talk about something, it's maybe even an educational podcast, maybe not like the, you know, the murder and death podcast, which I know you love. I don't think those put you at ease.
No, they don't. No, I've been immersing myself into music more.
Hmm.
So University of San Diego School of Law, Children's Advocacy Institute, the organization is sponsoring this assembly bill. It's called 2408. It has bipartisan support, but it would allow parents to sue social media companies like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat for addicting children to their apps.
Well, it's dopamine, and I think that's what we're all chasing,
man.
Right? You're chasing the dragon of dopamine and then also creating insecurities, but we've... But that's what magazine editorials used to be back in the day, where you're putting
but there's
way
a
too
difference,
skinny.
Though. I mean,
is there?
Yeah, well, there's a difference in the fact that they're developing algorithms to intentionally get you addicted to their apps, right? It's like if we're talking about like content, that's different, right? Because the content's all over the place, and that's a separate argument. But if they're intentionally creating algorithms to try to get kids hooked on it, shouldn't there be some sort of liability there?
I don't know.
Well, but I mean, are you really?
It's easier to say as a parent. I mean, I'm not a parent, so it's easier for me to say this. But ultimately, in my view, I feel like it boils down to the parent's responsibility on what you give your child access to, like whether they have a phone, whether they have a tablet. And I know that's easy for me to say without one, but I think at the end of the day, raising your child is your.
It's your
responsibility.
But
it's not the school's responsibility. It's not YouTube's responsibility. It's the parents.
Well,
and I feel like that's something that is kind of forgotten in many ways in this day and age.
Well, but they're not only like the algorithm. Not necessarily is directed towards kids getting hooked on social media, the algorithm is also in place in order to get everyone hooked on social media. It's not just like targeted towards kids. Same with like Netflix and streaming and all of that. The algorithm works in your favor. Right. And I actually like that there's an algorithm that will gear things that I'm going to actually enjoy watching versus seeing all of the other stuff that I don't want to see. I get this argument, but it feels like a reach for kids to say that they're targeting specific towards kids.
Here's what they said. They hire a psychiatrist and neuroscientist to work on design so they can expand their bottom line and get as many users as possible. And that's an insidious way to use psychology against kids.
Sure. Okay. Well, then we can do the argument of how much marketing dollars go into kids' commercials.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument.
Consumerism. Sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're marketing towards kids because they are the most susceptible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but it's on any route. It's not just social media.
It's not. This isn't anything new.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say because Saturday morning cartoons certainly had me brainwashed. All I wanted was those Ninja Turtles.
Yep. I just don't think it's a new
concept. You're going to come out with a banger of a tune like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday morning cartoon.
I mean, that thing hit. It did.
Yes.
But you were only on the drip for like 3 hours a weekend. That's all you got. 3 hours a week and then no cartoons.
And if you were bad, then no. Like, you ever get grounded to a point where you couldn't watch Saturday morning cartoons?
Man, I freaked out. I freaked out. Happened one time. I freaked out.
I never did.
Never misbehaved again.
Exactly.
End this now. Thank you.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Be sure to follow them on social media at Dave and Mahoney and visit DaveandMahoney.com.
Fabulous.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.